Highly favored, are we not? Highly favored. And this morning we're highly favored to have a brother and sister with us from Operation Mobilization. And could I call them up right now? I know Wendy's going to start it up, but brother, I want you to be part of this too. We are highly favored. You know, I've watched it for decades, all of my life, as huge crowds welcome and cheer our superstars of music and our kings and our politicians. But you know, we have two superstars right here, and they're superstars of our Father and His work. So welcome them with exuberance and with your heart this morning. Father, we just bring both of them before you, and we appreciate the work that they do, not for themselves, but for you, Lord, the difference that they make around the world. So, Lord, as they share with us now, just be with them, Lord. Have them in your hand. That's all we ask. Just guide their way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, saints. It's wonderful to be here with you. Thank you, Pastor Shannon and church family, for giving us the opportunity to come and share with you again. It's always a joy to be with you. And we want to thank you for your prayers, because God is at work. And it's really incredible. And I'd like to just share what God is up to here in Alberta through the ministry he's entrusted to us. And here's a few highlights. In May, David, Andrew Eckert, you know him, and Blair, they will be taking a team to the Himalayas. And actually one of your students from Clearwater College, Rebecca, is going on that. And then there's another team going to Ireland in March. There's actually prayer points in March, so you folks could take that and pray for this team while they go to Ireland. And then there's a team going from Peace River Bible Institute to Brazil, another team in Edmonton going to Paraguay, and then this summer is actually quite a busy summer for David and I. There's two challenges, and that is where OM comes alongside the church and helps equip the church for evangelism. And there's going to be two, in one in Redding and one in Lacombe. And then also there'll be two reunions. That's my responsibility within OM. I connect with OM alumni. And so we're planning two reunions, one in Calgary, one in Edmonton. And I'd appreciate prayer. I met a family at the dollar shop. I'm African, so I talk with everyone. What can I say? So they're from Bangladesh, and I had the joy of going, visiting with them, and pray as my friendship grows with them, that I will introduce them to the best friend, who is Jesus. And also appreciate prayer for our kids, for Glenna. It's actually her birthday today. She's 23, and she was 3 months when God entrusted her to us, and she's at university in Hamilton, so appreciate prayer for her. And then also appreciate prayer for our son, who's in many ways a prodigal, and that God would draw him to himself. And so thank you for giving us the opportunity to share, and thank you for your prayers for the work that God has entrusted to us. Thank you.
You can tell from that video, this is our purpose statement. We want to see thriving communities of Jesus followers among the least reached peoples in the world, and that's about a third of the world's population. I'm going to throw in a little commercial at this point, because I was asked actually to highlight one of the books that we have back there. So I'm going to mention a couple of them. The Calvary Road is required reading when you join OM. So if you read it now, you're ahead of the game. You'll have one less book to read when you join us. So, and I'm going to highlight too, a brother back there said it's a book that we should read every year. Now, I can't say that I have. I read it when I joined OM, and I remember bits of it, and it is a very powerful book. But I'm going to highlight that, The Calvary Road, and We Would See Jesus, also by Roy Hessian. Two very powerful books that you can have a look at, and there's others back there. The books are on a donation base, and the literature is there for the taking. And I'm going to try and get myself organized up here without losing everything. There we go. I went backwards, didn't I? So we'll get past the video again. There we go. And I want to highlight something. It's fairly new within OM, the last few years in the bigger picture of OM, the international leadership. We're working in about 140, between 140 and 150 nations around the world now. But our international leadership has chosen five areas to kind of highlight and focus. They call them spotlight regions. And I'm just going to mention them. They're highlighted on the map, and then you can grab some brochures on them back there. The Sahel is that narrow strip of land between the Sahara Desert and Southern Africa, predominantly Muslim communities in there, and so you can read more about that on these cards. The Arab Peninsula, of course, needs no explanation, really. You know where the Arab Peninsula is, and it's an area that we've focused on for many years. South Asia is places like India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh is an area. And so we're seeking to raise resources and people to go to these regions and to support the local churches that are there. Some of them, the church is there, but very small. But they are seeking to reach out in that area. The Mekong region, if you were familiar with that, along the Mekong River countries, Vietnam, Cambodia, areas in there. The North Caucasus, we had the privilege of one of our people from there on one of our national conference calls here a few months ago, and just exciting what God is doing in there. It's an area of southern Russia between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and those communities are predominantly Muslim in there as well, and God is doing a great thing. And I can't go without highlighting our ship ministry, because it's close right now. If you want to go on a Caribbean vacation, you can go visit Logos Hope and spend some time there. And so you have a card on the ship ministry down there as well. So you can do a vacation with a purpose. And I mean, even resting is a purpose for a vacation too. So don't get me wrong there. So, you know, that's not a bad thing. What, resting with a purpose? Yeah, well, it's not a cruise. It's a slave ship. Actually, the one that Wendy and I were on, and now we have one, we have Logos Hope in the Caribbean. Doulos Hope, the newer ship, is in Asia. And when Wendy and I were with the ship ministry, it was called the Doulos, which, of course, you're familiar with your Greek. It's the Greek word for slave. And so we would call it a slave ship. But no, it's not a cruise by any means. You work hard on there. People will get put into work departments, and you'll be chipping rust and painting. You're cleaning the ship, doing laundry, operating and seeing people coming into the bookstore on board, and then you have opportunity as teams to go on shore and work alongside of local churches to reach out in the community. So the cruising part is maybe if you happen to have an ocean crossing voyage that might take a week or two. The newer ships go a little faster than the old one, so I'm not sure how long an Atlantic crossing will take Logos Hope. Probably quicker than the Doulos ever went, but so that's your cruise, and if you don't get seasick, you're doing well. So I never did, but Wendy did, and so we had fun with that. But I want to pray, and then as I segue into our message this morning, I'm not going to focus kind of on one specific passage of Scripture, and I think as I go into it, you'll see why, what my plan is there. But I want to pray and just ask the Lord to minister to our hearts as He chooses here this morning. So, Father, we just thank you for these saints here at Camrose Community Church. What a blessing it is to come here year after year and to fellowship with these folks, Lord. And, we just love them. And more importantly, you love them, Lord. And you have a purpose and a plan for their lives right here in this community and perhaps to the ends of the earth one day for some. And we just ask for your anointing to continue to rest on Pastor Shannon, on the leadership of this congregation, and each one here, Lord, as they live out their lives, as they walk with you in this community, Lord, that they might be salt and light here. So we ask your blessing on our time now. Just, I pray for your enabling and that you would minister to our hearts according to your desire. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were following some of the news last year, you may remember that there was another Lausanne Congress, which is a huge mission conference that takes place every so often. This past year was in Seoul, Korea. Now, I know of some folks who went there, but I'm not going to highlight a lot of it. But this is one quote from an article from Christianity Today that came out of that, and I find it very powerful. More than 40% of the world has not yet been evangelized, yet about 97% of the current global total of 450,000 Christian missionaries are sent to those to people who already have access to the gospel. So as we go on, chew on that for a little bit, and as we go into the word here this morning. And my message, I give it a bit of a long title, that God is a missionary God, and I bet everybody knew that already, right? But what does that mean for you and me? It might mean something different for each of us. So there's kind of three points that I want to look at. One is God's mission, what he's up to, God on mission with his people, and then what is our part in that? What is our mission? And I'm going to put this scripture up here, and you can read it as we go. And it highlights, I think, in many ways, what I'm saying here this morning about God and his purpose and how he places us and he puts us in different places around the world. So you can read that. And I want to ask you a question. Now, how many of you here kind of grew up as kids going to Sunday school and this sort of thing? Yes, a lot of you. I didn't. I was a pagan, and I only came to the Lord when I was 23. So I told my daughter, I said, I was 23 when I came to know Jesus. And so she thought that was funny. Okay, now, in those Sunday school years, what are some of the Bible stories that you learned? Noah's Ark? Daniel in the lion's den? Jonah and the whale? So there's a lot of stories in the Bible, isn't there? And, if we didn't grow up in Sunday school and we've been in church for a while, then we've heard some of those stories. But the question I want to ask is there an overarching story that takes in the whole Bible that includes all of those stories, but it's the big picture? Is there one big story? God's love? That's right. That's part and parcel of it. There is an overarching story, and the Bible tells us that God had and has a purpose and a plan right from the beginning. If we were to look at Ephesians 1:4, I don't have the slide for it, but actually we can have a quick look at it there. I didn't mark it, so that's on me. I should have marked it there, or even that, or had somebody come and read it. But Ephesians 1, verse 4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I love the first part of the book of Ephesians, and it relates so much to some of the things we talked about in Sunday school here this morning. And I know as a church, you're focused a lot on people and who we are in Christ. And that first part of Ephesians does talk about that. And it's an incredible blessing that we have, the new identity that we receive when we put our faith and our trust in Christ. But this verse tells us that we were chosen. But when were we chosen? Before the foundation of the earth. And who was Paul writing to? The Ephesians were Gentiles, were they not? You and I, most of us here, there are some who may have Jewish heritage, but most of us are Gentiles. But God had a purpose for Gentiles in his kingdom right from the start, right from the very beginning. And as we know our history in many ways, our biblical history, Israel never really got this. And we are very thankful, I would suggest, that we did, and God did have a purpose and a plan. The whole Bible speaks to God's purpose and God's concern for all nations, all people. From the beginning, God's mission purpose was that Jews and Gentiles would form his people. Even if we go back to Solomon's prayer of dedication for the temple when it was built, I won't look it up, but 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, he said, God, make this place, when people turn towards this from the nations around us, that you would hear them and bless them. And what was the name of the part of the temple where the Gentiles were supposed to? They couldn't come into the main temple area, but there was an area that was set aside for Gentiles. What was that? The outer court, the court of the Gentiles. And, we fast forward to the New Testament, and when Jesus came to the temple, what was going on in the court of the Gentiles? They'd turned it into a market, hadn't they? People would come, they'd change their money because they had to get it into the temple currency, and then they would buy their animals for the sacrifice. So not only did the greed of the temple leaders taking the people's money get Jesus angry, but I think the point that we often miss is the location of where this was taking place. They had set up their market in the area where the Gentiles were actually supposed to be able to come to worship God. And Jesus got rather ticked. And me being a mission speaker, I focus on that aspect of it in many ways, perhaps more than I should, but I think the non-Jews were supposed to be allowed to come and worship Yahweh. And I think that was an even greater affront to Jesus than the money changing and this sort of thing. That ticked him off as well because of the greed. In the first chapters of Genesis, we get a glimpse of God's mission, culminating in the flood, the Tower of Babel, and then mankind was scattered into nations of the day, the nations, the ethne, the different groups of people. And then we see that in Acts 17 here, where God chose the time and the place for the different people. And then in the final chapters of Revelation, we get a glimpse of his fulfillment of this purpose. We see God dwelling with his people in Revelation 21, when that new heaven and that new earth come down. And yeah, we're going to be there. I think that's exciting. And I've talked about this verse here before. I think probably get tired of it maybe, but my favorite verse in many ways is Revelation 7:9, where God is being worshipped by a people from every nation, tribe, and people, and language. That is part of God's mission to bring that about. And I think I've said here before, I call that the party of all nations. And what do you and I get to hand out for that party? We get to give the invitations out. Isn't that exciting? And then we get to be a part of the party. So God is good. So that was God's mission, to build this community of people from every nation, tribe, and people and language, Jew and Gentile alike. And so in the big picture of the Bible, God has a purpose. He's on mission not only to prepare himself a people, a called out people from every nation and people group, but we see the specifics of it being worked out as we go through Scripture. But he doesn't do this alone. He doesn't just sit back and say, okay, I'm going to do all of this, but he works in and through us, doesn't he, his people. He's on mission with you and me in many places and in many ways. In September 2024, Typhoon Yagi swept through Southeast Asia. There was Hayun, a Buddhist lady. She'd spent her life trying to find peace, trying to just get through life, and she lived in fear a lot of the time. Her neighbor was a Jesus follower, and she refused to eat the food that Hayun had offered to idols. And so this got her wondering, what did her neighbor believe? Why wouldn't she eat this food? So Hayun's neighbor shared with her and took her to meet her pastor and told her about Jesus. And then Hayun visited the pastor, heard more of the gospel, but still didn't understand everything about it. She tried to follow both Buddhism and Christianity and for a time, and found out that wasn't working very well. And after more sermons, hearing the word preached more time and reading her Bible, she realized that, no, I can't do that. She went home and she prayed. With the help of sisters from the church, she destroyed the altar that was in her home and threw it out. And now she's following Jesus only. During the typhoon, her house was severely damaged. So the OM team that was in the area, they heard about this, and they came and they gave her a love package and blessing her with some things that she needed and a small amount of money to help her get back on her feet again. But it was through God working and on mission with the people around her, her neighbor and the OM team. And here she says, I give thanks to the Lord for bringing me out of the darkness and into your word's light, Hayun said. May God give me the strength to minister in the church and wherever God calls me. In Ghana, West Africa, when Logos Hope was there, Lawrence, one of the crew members, met a group of truck drivers when he went out. He had actually gone planning on going to visit other ships, which they will do from time to time. We used to do that when we were on board. But he felt the Lord saying, no, I don't want you to go to a ship today. I want you to go somewhere else. And he met this group of truck drivers. And most of the men were from the Sahel, the region in Africa that we spoke about, probably the least reached area of all of Africa. And along with another crew member, a guy named Fidelis from the Cameroon, Lawrence returned to speak with his men, gave them French Bibles. They were all French speaking. And then every day, these men came to the ship. They sat with Lawrence, sat with Fidelis, and studied the Bible and had meals together on board. It reminds me of back when Wendy and I were in Goa in India, and Rajendra came to the ship every day, and we were able to share with him. Now his daughter is a university student in Edmonton, and we're still in touch with this young man from India. Now, according to Jari from the Netherlands, the truck drivers were so excited for this opportunity to spend time with the young men from the ship. Have they come to faith yet? I don't know. The story doesn't end. It doesn't end with that, and the story is still ongoing. But God is on mission. God is on mission with these young men from the ship to share his love with a group of truck drivers from the Sahel, and God is on mission with Hayun's neighbor, with the OM team, to share the love of Christ in South Asia, where they were, in word and in deed. And that's the reality for us. God wants to share his love with people in word and in deed. You're doing it here with the food bank as you share with people and they come and have those physical needs met. And that's huge in our culture now in recent years with inflation and everything. The food banks are growing exponentially, or the demand for them, sadly. But it is a way of being on mission. So God is on mission with you and me to share the love of Christ with those around us. And that blows me away. That God, the God of the universe, wants to work with us to accomplish his plan. And I think, you go to a workplace and the workers aren't necessarily doing the best job sometimes. And you think, well, shouldn't they be fired and somebody else hired? But God doesn't fire us. He just keeps working through us as he, molds us into his character. I think that's amazing. This started way back in Genesis chapter 12. God chose Abram, soon to be Abraham, one man, one family, and one nation, and he was going to bless all the nations of the world through him. And Israel was to be God's missionary nation to all the nations of the world. They were at the crossroads of the world of the day. People would pass through there and learn of Yahweh, and they were going to come to know him. Some did, some didn't, but as we know, and we talked about already with what they were doing in the temple, Israel didn't quite do that as well as what God would have liked. Now, there is a sense here, we talk about people being fired. Israel kind of lost that mandate, as it were, to be God's light. God is still not done with Israel, but they lost that mandate, and it was handed to the church, to the Gentile church, and then those Jews who would join through coming to know Yeshua as their Messiah, and they're part of that. But the idea of God choosing a people to work together with him on mission flows seamlessly from the Old Testament to the New. There's God's covenant with Abraham. And then in Galatians, Paul connects those same promises, first to Jesus and then to you and I as Abraham's seed. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. And then from the New Testament era forward, we have become God's missionary people on mission with him to bring his blessing to all peoples on earth. And if you've read the Great Commission lately, don't forget the last part of it. We don't do this alone. He's not promised never to leave us or forsake us. He's with us forever in that. And so God is on mission. He's on mission with his people. And we are on mission as we rely on him. Our mission as his called out people is to cooperate with him in taking the gospel to all nations of the earth. And what is this going to look like for each of us? It could look different. But the key is kingdom living. We live out our lives and do church with a missional focus. And if that's throwing a birthday party for a prostitute, 3:30 in the morning, praise God. That was the story that inspired the ministry Wendy and I were involved in Montreal, reaching out to street kids and prostitutes, taking birthday cakes to the prostitutes. And the response for some of them were much like Agnes. They just wept because they had never experienced somebody loving on them like this before, because they're so beaten down and abused. But we look for those opportunities to share Christ with those around us, wherever we might be. And I'm gonna take us back to that quote I read from the beginning, because I think that's important to ruminate on that a little bit as well as we wrap up here. But 40% of the world still yet to be reached, and 97% of our efforts focus on those that already have access to the gospel. So that's something to think about and say, well, what is our mission that we are on with God? What is the mission he wants to do in and through us? And I'm just going to wrap up by reading this last passage of scripture from Romans chapter 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Who's got beautiful feet here this morning? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you're on mission with us. You've chosen to, call us into your kingdom. Call us to be part of your people, to go out into this world and be on mission for you, sharing your love wherever that may be, with whoever that may be, Lord. Let us never think somebody is too unlovely to share with or that we can't associate with them. But Lord, let us be obedient to you and take your love wherever you desire us to. And so, Father, right here in Camrose, I pray that these saints would continue to shine for you, and that to the ends of the earth, your good news would continue to go forward to those who have never heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much.